And we continue to pray, as I hope you are through this service, but I'll give voice to some of our prayer. That we will hear you, O Father, speak into our hearts in the celebrations of this season, in the joy of the festivities tomorrow, but deep into our heart, that we may receive your blessing and be changed into your likeness. For in your name we pray. Amen. So how do you get on with silence? Are you okay with it? How will you feel in the silent times in this service as communion and people go backwards and forwards and you have silence there, 10 minutes or so? How will you feel in that time of silence? The silence of nothing. Can you? How long can you spend at home without a screen on or referring to any media? Just not doing anything, just being in silence. How long could you do? How long could you be in that place? How will you cope with the silence that will come to many of us? The silence of incapacity, sitting in an armchair for hours on end with nothing to do and maybe no stimulus that interests. How will we be for what seems to be the apparent deep silence of death? Most of the time, most people probably avoid silence, don't we? We fill the void. I know I do. If I go in after a shower, I turn on the radio straight away, or into the kitchen, the radio gets turned on. We avoid the silence. Afraid of boredom, maybe afraid of our own thoughts. And yet, through these Christmas services, we're celebrating that God is found in silence. Quintessentially, God is a God of miracles, he's a God of nature, but quintessentially, he works and is known in silence. So I hope all these festivities are going really well for you and all the fun tomorrow. And that's a great blessing to have. And may we enjoy it to the full. But over these Christmas services, to remind ourselves that the real joy will be found when we know that our lives are grounded in silence in God. It is where we find him. If we truly want to know God, to be at peace in this world, we have to make and use silence in our lives. If we want to know presence beyond the material, we have to center our lives in prayer and silence with God. And more than this, it's not just a practice of 5-10 minutes a day or whatever. It's not meditation, it's not mindfulness. It's taking ourselves into the presence of God. And it's having an attitude, an approach to life that is one of acceptance and silence, a humility of being. Humility and silence go together. And this is about belief in the Christian truths. Do you believe 2,000 years ago Jesus was born in Mary? People will doubt. But the question is, coming close, deep into your heart, these truths transforming you within, and then actually the things of 2,000 years ago become much more easy to believe and to put into place and to understand. Taking to the core of our being, to of our very soul, that a saviour has been born for us. To give ourselves over to then in silence in God, and we find what God is. We find peace, strength, joy, love, hope, goodness, as we hand our lives over to God in the silence. We saw all this in the carol service last Sunday, that in the silence, God is working there in the Christmas story. You remember Mary, when the angel announces to her, she just has an acceptance of silence. And then in the birth of Christ, see the silence that is happening there. It can seem like just another baby is born in a quiet backwater of the world, but something extraordinary in that silence is going on. How silently the wondrous gift is given. And then there is more to it, isn't there? Because it's the supreme humility of God, his silence, emptying of himself and serving as a man, emptied of everything but love. God in Christ, living in a silence of being. Cardinal Robert Sarah wrote in his book, The Power of Silence, from the crib to the cross, silence is constantly present. Silence, humility in order to love. So I'm encouraging you, of course, that you take this seriously, that you find prayer and silence in your lives. You give yourselves over in this time. But I also believe it's not just for you, it's for our crazy world, for so much of the concerns and the issues that we face. If we cannot learn a more simple life, a silence that is content in God, then we may well be facing major, major problems in the coming years. So, how do we go about it? Absence of noise is vital, of course, for silence. but it's about focusing, isn't it? Our appetites and energies. It's getting away from those plethora of attractions that our consumer society continually throws at us. The silence is about a silence of heart, our very being. And how do we do it? We'll just refer and see the example of the saints, past and present, who talk about how silence has transformed their lives. You can read so much about it, so many different examples. There's a current writer, Sarah Maitland. She documented her own journey from a life of mega sociability. She was always organising dinner parties, life and soul of the party. And then she realised she needed silence. And she took herself off to Scotland and lived in silence and now builds silence 2 or 3 hours into her life every day. And she said this, the riches that she found. She said she found a positive presence, not a void, but a rich space. She found God. And it wasn't just quietness in Scotland that she found, or peace. Those, of course, are ephemeral. They come and go, don't they, with the circumstance. Come back to London or wherever, and you've got all the noise and all that going on again and the anxiety. All of that's ephemeral. But what she found was an interior dimension to silence, a sort of stillness of heart and mind. And what these people write about when they say these things is they can't really explain it. They struggle for the words. They can't find the actual logical words to describe what's going on. Sarah Maitland relates about the British nun Tenzin Palmo, who spent 3 years in the Himalayas in total silence. 3 years of total silence. When she came back, all she could say about her experience was, well, it wasn't boring. So all of this is inexplicable to be able to describe in words what is going on. And so on, as I say, there are so many people who will testify to the same thing. Thomas Merton, great writer, read what he says of his experience last century. Read his Seven Story Mountain, his autobiography. He had a hedonistic lifestyle, and then he talks about a sense of coming home when he became a monk. He writes of the silence that enfolded me, spoke to me, and spoke louder and more eloquently than any voice. In silence given to God, our very being encounters him, an experience of the soul for which no words are adequate. And again, it's go back hundreds of years and read the spiritual writers and what they say. The classics, St. John of the Cross, The Dark Night of the Soul. He talks there about losing everything. He lost his faith, more or less. He lost absolutely everything and just gave everything over into silence. And he talks about there just being overcome, overpowered by a power and intensity of love that took his free will. It was a love, he says, that makes everything seem possible, a love that cannot understand how anyone could waste their time doing anything other than seek the beloved. And again, St. John says, it's not about our faculties of sense and intellect that you can attain this with. It is an encounter with the presence of God that is found in silence. And St. John went on to write about the fruits that come from this. He said there's a delight of peace, a peace that he'd never understood before. Not that ephemeral peace, but a deep peace within. About a continuous remembrance of God and caring for him, he discovered a clarity and purity of soul, the practice of virtue, he says, he discovered in his process, his journey to silence. In essence, when we take this life, life becomes clearer, simpler, more filled with goodness. So those are the saints I can refer you to, and you can, I say, read so much about them. But then there's another saint, which is my dad. For most of his life, he was agnostic and at times belligerently atheistic, for most of his life. And then he's into his 90s, when he was 96, in the long hours of just sitting in an armchair, in silence, he found God. And the difference was tangible. A relative who he lived with, the relatives, said a difference came over him, but he didn't explain it. He didn't explain what had happened. He told me later what had happened to him. He just said, I know that God is there. All my life, I've denied it, but I just know that God is there. He'd found God in the silence. He was loved. There is life beyond death. And then he died a year later, earlier this year, actually. And what a difference it made, having discovered God in the silence. So the love of God 2,000 years ago was manifest in the silence, the humility of Jesus. And we discover that love as we give ourselves over in the silence. And this, of course, is what we celebrate tonight, our salvation. As the angels proclaimed, the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord is born. We can be saved from our sin, our seemingly never-ending appetites and desires, hand over to God and be made whole. And we can follow the pattern of Jesus, living in humility and emptying himself of all but love. You, we, all of this, I urge you, need this to be saved. We need our will subsumed by the love of God. We need this for our peace, our relationships, our fulfillment in this life. And of course, as I said earlier, this weary world needs this salvation too. With all the threats of massive ecological disaster from climate change and all the economic challenges arising around the world and our own particular concerns about Brexit, we surely need a people who have learned that the greatest contentment is in simplicity, humility, in silence. So I pray that you would maybe do this tonight and start practicing this night. Go beyond your mind, don't worry about what you believe, just hand over to God in the silence. Keep passing over who you are. I know how hard this can be. We struggle with boredom, we struggle with the thoughts we would rather not think. But if you practice, it is practicing your faith, it's turning from belief into faith. As you practice it, you will find giving yourself over to God, all of yourself, your thoughts, wishes, desires, simply being in silence, you will find God there. You will find his love, joy, peace, goodness, strength, and much more of the presence of God. And if you don't, ring me or send me an email and I'll come and have a chat what's going on. Because I believe God is there working in that silence. And if you're not discovering it, then I'd love to help you and see what's going on. Cardinal Robert Sarah said this in that book, The Power of Silence. Jesus comes to this earth during a peaceful and silent night while mankind is sleeping. Only the shepherds remain awake. His birth is surrounded by solitude and silence. But this is how God works, and it is where he is found. Amen.